We're here with our weekend class at the Dundon's home in Ebony, Virginia, studying the state mind and the peace of God. And here we'll start in the first part of the class called Abundance of Peace. And we'll start in Psalm 4. This entire class can be summarized in a verse in Isaiah we'll read in a few minutes, that if you keep your mind stayed on God, you'll have peace in your heart. And with peace in your heart, you'll be able to move calmly and happily and joyfully through life. That's a summary. So if you don't want to listen to the whole class, turn off the recording now and just focus on God and have peace in your life. But God has gone to the trouble of putting so many verses in the Bible on this topic. We're just going to read them. So, Psalm 4, and here, in verse 5. Psalm 4, verse 5. Psalm 4, verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? And you run into a lot of people like that. They just think things are such a mess. Nothing's going my way. Nobody's going to help me. Everything's a mess. Well, we're not those that say that. There are all kinds of people and situations and organizations that won't show you any good. But there's a God who will. So, and that's what people do. They see people that don't help them. They see organizations that don't help them, they see trends in the news and in society that don't help them, and they conclude that nobody's going to help me. Well, what we see in the scriptures is that regardless of everybody else and every other circumstance, God will be there to help you. So there'll be many, verse 6, who say, who will show us any good? And then he prays, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Even though nobody else is doing us any good, Lord, we'd like your help. Verse 7, thou hast put gladness in mine heart more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. I will both lay me down in what? In peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That's where we have peace, knowing that God gives it to us. And there are times where things in the world will help you be peaceful, and that's good. But there's plenty of things in the world that will get you all agitated. So we can't count on the world to give us peace. We count on God. And if you happen to be in peaceful situations, like we are out here in Ebony, hallelujah. That's good. That's good. But the ultimate, dependable, predictable, continuous source of our peace is God. Psalm 37. Here we are, Psalm 37, verse 7. Psalm 37, 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And of course, the word wait has to do with expectation as well. Be expecting God to help you. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about somebody else who's doing well. That's not our problem. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, those that expect God's blessings, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek, those who are willing to listen to God and trust God, shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. They'll just be delighted with the peace of God. And then verse 34 of Psalm 37. Wait on the Lord. Again, wait with expectation. Expect the Lord to help you. And keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, behold, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. See, in the scriptures, having peace is a great goal, a great end, a great accomplishment to have. Because it says, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man, the result, the sort of culmination of his life is peace. So peace is a good thing. That's why we spent so much time this weekend reading about it in the scriptures, because it's so important. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation, the deliverance of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. What a great life. What a great life. Psalm 119, verse 65. Psalm 119 and verse 65. Oh, I think this is the one that's supposed to be 165. Mm-hmm. I think I got that wrong.
Which one are you looking
at? Just wait a minute, Mother.
Yeah, 165.
Yeah, Psalm 119 and verse 165. Yep. We can change that and the copyright. On the last page. Two things to change, Brian. We, after all our talking, left field copyright. So before we post it up, we'll fix those two things. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. See, when we love God's word, knowing that he'll take care of us, knowing that he cares for us, nothing can offend us, nothing can upset us, because we know that God's going to take care of us. So what is there to worry about in life if we know God's going to take care of us? So what a great verse. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So, by remembering God's commandments, so, verse 4, shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And what a great thing. We know these verses and we love them, that we don't have to lean to our own understanding. We can trust the Lord. And verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We can never forget that, that as we look to God, he'll direct our paths, because we can get so nervous and worried about this plan and that plan and the other plan, which plan's going to work out. Well, it's good to plan, but in the end, we trust God. Just believe that he'll direct our paths. We don't worry about things. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So it's great, great stuff. Let's go back to verse 2. One of the things God's commandments do is length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. So There are many great things God's Word does for us, but one of the things it does is add peace to our lives, because we're just so confident God will take care of us that there's nothing to worry about. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, what it'll buy, is better than the merchandise of silver. You can buy a lot of things with silver. And the gain thereof, what you can gain from having God's Word, is more than the gain from fine gold. We all know that with silver and gold, you can buy and sell and invest and do all kinds of things. But what you get from God's wisdom is even greater. She, wisdom, God's wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. With the wisdom of God in your life, every path you go down with it leads to peace. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. That's why we love the wisdom of God. It's great peace. Isaiah 26. So in many of these classes, there's one or two verses that summarizes the whole class. And if you had to have one takeaway, it'd be that verse. Well, Isaiah 26:3 is the one, I think, that summarizes this whole class. Maybe others, but this is a great one. Isaiah 26:3. Sometimes when we say you're coming unglued, we mean it sort of metaphorically, but with you, you're literally coming unglued.
Oh, quit it. Go back to thinking.
It's actually, it's your Bible. It's not you. Okay. Isaiah 26:3. I have another old unglued Bible here. If yours completely falls apart, we can swap. Okay, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And the word stayed there simply means steadfast, steady. If your mind is steady, trusting, looking to God, God will keep you in perfect peace. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So you keep your mind steadfast, looking to God, you'll have perfect peace. And that's a great discipline. You know, athletes have to learn to focus on whatever play they're doing, whether they're running, throwing, jumping, hitting something, knocking somebody over, whatever they're doing, they have to focus and get it accomplished. People in business have to focus on a goal. If you're traveling, you have to focus on your destination. And we all know we have to do that if you're going to accomplish things. Well, when we simply learn to focus on God and keep our minds stayed on His deliverance, His love for us, the result is we'll have perfect peace. And that's what we want to do. That's the whole point of this class on stayed mind and the peace of God, is look at scriptures, learn things that will help. And my goal for each and every one of you is that reading these scriptures will reinforce those things you already know from God's Word. And perhaps if there's one or two areas in your life where this hasn't quite clicked for you, that one of these scriptures will click in your brain and you'll go, aha, that's what I need to do. And then you'll be able to keep your mind more on God and have more peace. That's our goal this weekend. And if I say, if it does nothing but reinforce what you've learned years ago, hallelujah. But if you learn a new trick or two, fill in a few gaps in your knowledge and understanding, all the better. And other times, you've known these things for years, but just forgot them because you're focused on other stuff. And this reminds you, and you go, oh yeah, I remember. I used to think about that verse, and life was great. I just haven't done it in 5 years. I'll go do that again. We all have various of these things happen. So whichever of those helps you, that's my prayer, is that these things will just be a blessing to your life. So let's read that again, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or steadfast, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So that's our perfect peace. Okay, Isaiah 32, verse 15. Isaiah 32 and verse 15. I am being challenged here, this class. That's not the verse in there.
I think I copied the wrong verse.
Oh, it's verse 17. We got some editing to do, Brian.
That's okay.
Isaiah 32:17, not 15. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. See, we are righteous through the work of Jesus Christ, and the work or the achievement of righteousness. What being righteous before God accomplishes in our lives is peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. And to be righteous is an English word that William Tyndale coined when he was doing his translation of the Bible. This means to be right with God, to where there's no conflict between you and God. In the Old Testament, they tried to obtain their righteousness by living the law, but they never quite got there. But Jesus Christ completely fulfilled the law, and now we in the new birth have that righteousness provided as a result of his ministry. And because we are righteous before God, the achievement of that righteousness is peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Mm-hmm. But like so many things we get in the new birth, it doesn't do us any good unless we're aware of it. You know, if I have a gazillion dollars in my bank account and I'm down at the corner store trying to buy something, and I look in my pocket and there's no money, and I panic and get all angry because I'm broke and can't buy it, that's sort of silly, because there's a gazillion dollars in my bank account. I could just go get some out. But if I forget about it and don't use it, I don't get to buy that thing, and I have a terrible day. Well, the new birth is sort of like that for us. God's done so much for us through the work of his son Jesus Christ that we have in the new birth, including this quietness and peace and assurance. We just have to put it in our minds and say, wait a minute, because I'm righteous before God, I have peace, I have quietness and assurance. I'm going to claim that. I just have to do that with my brain. So, Isaiah 48, this sounds like a song we just read. What a good song that we sang. We read it and sang it. Perfect song for today to start out. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Did I get this one right? Probably not. Verse 18. Who in the heck did these notes? Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. God said, I wish you'd listen to my commandments, because then your peace would have been like a flowing river, just gently flowing along, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. That's what God wants. You see, rivers just keep flowing. Even if you dam them up, they'll fill up behind the dam and they'll overflow and just keep going. That's the way rivers are. They just keep going. Nothing can stop them. They're going to come downhill. So peace like a river. God said, I just wish you'd listen to my commandments, because then you'd have had peace like a river, and your righteousness would have been like the waves of the sea. That's what God wants. And one to close this session, this section in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and by supplication, making specific requests unto God, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. So we all have things we might get anxious about, we might get worried about, but God says be anxious for absolutely nothing, but in everything by prayer and specific requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's okay to talk to me about it. It's okay to talk about some friend about it. But at the end of the day, you have to let your requests be made known to God. Because I can do a little bit for you, and somebody else can do a little bit for you, but the one that answers your prayer is God. So let your requests be made known unto God. Then what's going to happen if you do that? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We had to have a second scripture to sort of summarize today's class, this would be it. Because instead of being worried and upset about things, we tell God what we need, we ask for His help with great thanksgiving, and the result is the peace of God will guard our hearts. It'll be like a garrison surrounding your hearts. And nothing else can do that for you. Good circumstances make you happy for a little while as long as the circumstances last. But then either they change or you get bored with them and are looking for the next circumstance. But God, He's always there. And if we turn everything over to Him in prayer with thanksgiving, we'll have this constant source of supply, this constant source of peace. And that's why it says the peace of God will guard your hearts. Like building a little fort around it, keep stress out. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to live. So that's our first section in our notes on the abundance of peace. Now we're going to move into the section on the fixed heart. And in this section, we'll learn more scriptures about keeping our mind stayed or our heart fixed on God. Because remember, we read in Isaiah 26 that, and it's in the scriptures again, it's in this section again, that if you have your mind stayed on God, then you'll have great peace. So let's go to Deuteronomy 11. Maybe we'll do better in this section. I'm having the verses right in the notes. Yeah, if we get this fixed and get it on the website, Brian, then I'll save the updated version in my notes and hopefully quit pulling up the old ones.
Okay.
We'll see if we can get that fixed. Okay.
They're all good verses.
They are, aren't they, Mom? Yeah, we can read the ones that are, yeah. You read the others, they are so good. May have nothing to do with our topic today, but they'd be good verses. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up, or put, simply put these my words in your heart and in your soul. Put these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19, and you shall teach them, your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Point is, you should really focus on God's word. Verse 20, thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied. If you do this, if you do all these things to keep the word of God at the forefront, today we might put it on a screensaver. We have like nice little pictures and things we put around the house. I was coming downstairs here last night. There's a nice verse there written above the door. The door lintel. Okay. Okay, I'll talk louder. So whenever we have these verses where we can see them, they just remind us to believe God. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, therefore shall ye lay up or put these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. Why do you do this? That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Verse 22. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. So a blessing and a curse, and it all comes down to putting the Word of God on your mind. That's why we talked about a fixed heart. You've got to keep doing things to keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind. Whether you write them, put them in little magnets on your refrigerator, or put them in pictures on your wall, or just always have your Bible out where you can see it, or always listen to scriptures, or whatever it takes to keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind. Deuteronomy 32 has more about this. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 44. Deuteronomy 32:44. And Moses came, Deuteronomy 32:44. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song, Deuteronomy 32:44. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, or Joshua, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words. Focus your thoughts, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain or empty thing for you, because it is what? Your life. And through this thing, through focusing on God's word, you shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. So they were about to cross the Jordan to go into the promised land, and he said you have to set your hearts to the word of God. You have to focus your thoughts on God's word. That was the whole point. Psalm 1. Very popular psalm we like to look at. Here we go. In Psalm 1. And verse 1. Psalm 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's thinking about God's word. His mind is stayed on God's word. His heart is fixed, thinking about God and his commandments. So look at that again, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 of Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Trees planted by rivers of water prosper. Of course, around here, everything prospers because it's a wet part of the country. But if you're even if you're in a very dry part of the country, in the desert, which much of the land around these Bible incidents was more like, if you happen to be by a river, the trees did great. Get 100 yards from the river and you might be nothing. But by the river, you had water. So he, the person that focuses on God's word, meditates on God's word, has his heart fixed on God's word, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalm 108. Psalm 108 and verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed, or steadfast. It's simply focused on God and His Word. It's steadfast. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. His heart was just fixed and steadfast. It was focused on God's Word and wouldn't change. Psalm 112. Just across the page in my Bible. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth or reverenceth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed, his offspring, shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Even if we find ourselves in a time of great darkness and confusion, well, light will arise. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, it's firm, steadfast, established, sustained, steady, upheld. His heart is fixed, it's steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Other people may wander and waffle, but his heart is just fixed, it's steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Verse 8, his heart is established, he shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. His heart is just that fixed, firm, and steadfast. Psalm 119, verse 165. Another one we read in the previous session. We'll have a little repetition here to review these. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Again, when we love God's word, when our minds are focused and fixed on his word, we'll have great peace. And Isaiah 26 again. Some of these verses fit into several of our subtopics today, so we'll get to read them a few times. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, whose mind is steadfast or well stayed or steady. Thou'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And Isaiah chapter 50, Isaiah 50 and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. What a great statement. How simple. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded or disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He knew that God would help him, so he set his face, focused like a flint, on God, that he just wouldn't waver from looking to God. And that's our big challenge as people. We have so much else going on. How do we focus? I think sometimes of professional ball players who are in a stadium and there is so much yelling and screaming from the crowd. How can they possibly focus on playing ball? But somehow, if he's a pitcher, he manages to focus on pitching. If he's the batter, he manages to focus on batting. If he's the quarterback, he manages to focus on where there's an opening to throw the ball. And somehow, they manage to tune out all of that rabble and focus on playing ball. And how they do it, I have no idea. But some of them are pretty good because they win games and they win championships. Well, our game, our championship in life has nothing to do with a crowd. It's nothing to do with impressing everybody. The way we win the championship in life is simply by focusing on God and living in great peace. And trusting Him to take care of us. That's what we do. That's where we get our hearts fixed. Other people may focus on throwing the ball or catching the ball or hitting the ball or kicking the ball. We focus on trusting God, and then we have great peace. So let's read that again in Isaiah 50, verse 7. Oh, I'm in chapter 49. I'm doing that again. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded or disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. What a great thing. Set my face like a flint. Page 2 of your notes. Here we go. Ezekiel 14. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore, so this is sort of what it's not. Instead of having their minds stayed on God, they had their minds stayed on false idols. And this is what it is not. This is what we don't want to do. Verse 4, Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Verse 8, And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. You shall know that I am the Lord. So if you're going to get your mind focused and fixed, fix it on the true God, not on the idols. That was the point here. You get your mind set on the idols, it's not as good. God will not be able to help you. So let's go to Zechariah. Ezekiel, Daniel. Oh, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Zechariah, right after Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zechariah, chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Zechariah 7 verse 8, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as adamant, as an adamant stone, or as flint, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. So they set their face like a flint, an adamant stone, a flint, but they set it against God. You see, so we have to stubbornly set our thoughts on God and his word. These guys stubbornly set their thoughts against God's word. Verse 13, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. They called unto the Lord, and they didn't hear, because they made their hearts as an adamant stone, as flint. So we see this throughout the scriptures. God gives people choices. You can have your heart adamantly set to trust God, set your face like a flint, stayed mind, fixed heart, or you can have your stayed mind, fixed heart contrary to God and his word. And that's what they did here. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, look at verse 15. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Another aspect of keeping our minds fixed, our hearts fixed. We're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're just steadfast and unmovable. We don't allow ourselves to be pushed around. We don't allow our thoughts to change from focusing on God and his word. So far, we've looked at the abundance of peace. We've looked at the fixed heart. If you all can stand a few more minutes before a break, we'll look into patiently determined. These are all variations on a theme. These are all different aspects of the same concept, the stayed mind and the peace of God. So let's go in here at Psalm 37, verse 7. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We We have to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This is a verse we read earlier, and it fits in here too. We patiently wait for the Lord. It just takes patience in life. We all know this. We sit in traffic. We get on hold on the telephone. We're cooking something, and we want it to be done, and it's not. So we have to wait. We all have things we have to patiently wait for. Well, the same with God. The difference with God is he always comes through for us. Sometimes we wait and wait with people, and then nothing happens. But not with God. We wait and wait, and he always comes through. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 40, verse 1. Look at this one. Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Isn't that great? I waited patiently, and he inclined and heard my cry. Inclined, he leaned over. I waited patiently, leaned over, and said, what's going on here? Isn't that good? We've all talked to people who just ignore us. We've talked to other people that really listen and want to help us. Well, God's one of those who wants to listen and help us. And not only does he want to, but he can. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Luke 8, verse 15. See, we have to be patiently determined. This is in the middle of the parable of the sower. We won't read the whole parable, but one person it talks about here in Luke 8, verse 15. Luke 8 and verse 15. Talking about the seed that falls on the good ground. Luke 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. They that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. It's interesting, the parable of the sower, because we've all grown things. We've all planted flowers or fruits or vegetables, and we've seen them bring forth fruit. But they don't. Doesn't happen immediately. You have to plant it. You have to water it. You have to weed it. And if you do that, you will bring forth fruit. And that's the way the word is in our hearts. We have to continue to faithfully put it in our hearts and be patiently determined to stay with it. And then we get the results. To expect it to come automatically in the first second is not reasonable. But to expect fruit from it with patience is very reasonable and what we should expect. Look at verse Luke 21. Very interesting verse. Luke 21 and verse 15. Got the wrong verse again. It's supposed to say in your... Oh, it's verse 19. Well, we can actually just go to Luke 15, 21, 15 to 19. We'll get the whole thing there. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for namesake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. And then in your patience possess ye your souls. Talking about a very difficult time that was going to, some of the disciples there were going to encounter. And he says the way to deal with it is in your patience possess ye your souls. By patiently looking to God, just hold on to your brain. Don't let it go nuts. be patiently determined to trust God. What a great verse. In your patience possess ye your souls. Or as it says in the New American Standard Bible, by your endurance you will gain your lives. By simply being enduring, trusting God, not giving up, you'll gain your lives. Then here's a really fun section in Romans chapter 3. There are a couple of these great sections in Romans, but so much fun. Let's look at one of them, Romans chapter 3. Go Romans through your Bible if you want, or just go to the right page, whichever you like. Romans chapter 3, actually, Romans chapter 5, sorry. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. We'll read verses 3 through 5. Romans 5, 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation or mental pressure works or produces patience. And patience produces experience, and experience produces hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And here in the J.B. Phillips translation we read, this doesn't mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us a patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character. And a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. So you see, the mental pressure we have in daily life, if we stay with looking to God, will result in patience. We'll end up getting patience because we stay with God, we get through the mental pressure, we see Him come through, and then we develop patience. That's part of the reason why that quarterback in that football game, even with all the noise, can focus, because he's had the experience and the patience that even though there's a bunch of very large guys trying to knock him over, and a bunch of noise from the crowd, he can focus because he's had the experience. Well, when we continue to look to God and continue to steadfastly expect Him to bless us, the result will be great patience and great victory. Let's read this again, the J.B. Phillips here in your notes. This doesn't mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taking the right spirit, these very things will give us a patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character, and a character of this hope sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. So don't worry when you have trials and tribulations and difficulties. Use them as a chance to trust God and be patient and expect Him to bless you. Romans 12, another great section here. Romans 12, in verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. We rejoice in hope. We're patient in tribulation or mental pressure. And we continue instant in prayer. And the continuing instant in prayer can be translated continuing steadfast in prayer. Being faithful in prayer. To persevere and not to faint in prayer. Or to show oneself courageous for prayer. So we rejoice in hope. And we're patient in mental pressure. And very faithful in prayer. So three great things. We always rejoice in the hope of the return. We had that in manifestation. We're very patient in mental pressure. We're very patient or very persevering when we have mental pressure. When we have mental pressure, we don't give up. We keep persevering. And we're very steadfast in prayer. So three great things. All about patiently determined. Then one, let me see, a couple more here to wrap up this section. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. See, what a great thing. Being strengthened by the power of God, they could live with patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know, patience is a great thing. Long-suffering is sort of like hyper-patience, patience on steroids, being able to be patient through really tough stuff that nobody else would want to put up with. Well, if we can have that super patience with joyfulness. See, because a lot of times people want to be patient through a tough time and then be happy afterwards. Well, we can be patient and even have long-suffering with joyfulness, because we know God's going to bless us and take care of us. So we don't have to suffer through tough times being miserable and then be happy afterwards. We can have great joyfulness through the midst of those tough things. It's all a matter of being patiently determined. And one to wrap up this section, then we'll take a break. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We read here, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, as is appropriate, because your faith, your believing, groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love of God of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So your patience can also be translated perseverance or steadfast. So we ourselves glory, we brag about you in the churches of God. When we go to see other fellowships, we talk about what a wonderful church you are because of your patience, your perseverance, your steadfastness in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. See, they were having a tough time in Thessalonica, but they persevered. They stuck with it. They continued to focus on God and his word and not give up. They were patiently determined, and that's why Paul and those with him bragged about the Thessalonians, because they just stuck with God's word. And as we do that, we're focused on God and we have great peace. So we'll take a break here.